Our message today, this morning, is titled, A High Price Tag. Most institutions have a set of core values. And from my previous institution, one of the core values that was really impressed on us was that of selfless sacrifice. Every day, this was given and reiterated to us, perhaps to show us the great importance of the institution that we represented. Putting self ahead and taking a risk for others is not as simple as it sounds. But it is the essence of the Christian life that we are called to live. And the gospel reading this morning, Christ himself says, we got to hate everything. Father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children. All to be governed by him. I had a particular difficulty when thinking of this scripture and thinking of what the people that Christ was speaking to then might have thought, and for them that might have taken it literally as to hating them that were living together with. But wait a minute. It goes deeper than that. It's not an excuse to hate your spouse. It's not an excuse to hate your brother, your sister, neither your neighbor. But I believe what Christ was trying to emphasize is that great sacrifice that we have to make even at the expense of our family, at the expense of that which we value so much, for his love to be seen in us. And this morning, as I was speaking to the church in St. Peter's, and the time is now when we are mourning that we've lost one of our members at St. Peter's, and whom we are burying on Wednesday. And one particular instance of sacrifice caught my attention. Mrs. Smith was a bit elderly, and she couldn't. She used to come to church on her wheelchair. And the fact that she didn't have her family members nearby and she was living by herself, one member of St. Peter's used to go and pick her every morning to bring her into the church. And I was thinking, what time she has to leave her place to be at Elsie's place and to bring her into church? The sacrifice that she has to do by leaving her family, leaving all that she's supposed to be doing in the morning, rushing over to get someone that they have no blood connection, but someone whom they only share in the fellowship of the church. Verses 27, the Roman authority by then forced criminals who've been forced to go for execution to carry their own cross. And it was a known fact to everyone then that if you were condemned to hang, you had to carry your own cross. This showed submission to the Roman power. And it warned every other observer to either obey or live by the book or according to what the Romans wanted by then. But Jesus said this to make the crowds to think critically. For them that might have been superficial in faith to either get deeper or turn back. Following Christ means total submission to him, even to the point of death. The high price tag, brethren, that we are called to bear this morning is such a great cost. And this cost of following Christ is comparable to the builder that we've been told about, who has to take toll of what he has, what skills he got, what monies he's got, versus what he wants to do, all in order to avoid the mockery of having started a project that he was not able to finish at the end. Someone would argue, what is the essence of faith then? Don't the scripture tell us that faith moves mountains? On the contrary, faith enables us to appreciate our effort, our own ability, and at the same time, to acknowledge our inefficiency, our weakness, and to allow God to supplement our weaknesses. Will you abandon the Christian life after a little while because you didn't count the cost of the commitment? The cost could be loss of your time, your social status, your wealth, your energy physically when you give it for the work of the gospel. You may have to give some control, control of your money, control of your time, career. Sometimes the cost of following Christ may move you into separation from your family. And Nick was just sharing of Bridget being away from the family, paying the total cost of this. And I think I've even paid a greater price of leaving my family back in Africa to share in this cost of the gospel. Think of Christians in the various parts of this world facing persecution today, waking every day to the realization of an imminent death happening anytime. Following Christ doesn't mean a trouble-free life. I'm particularly touched by the testimonies that are coming from a Middle East, from Aleppo, from Mosul. And particularly thinking of whatever is happening at the city of Mosul, a time like now, where Christians and this Christian city since time immemorial, where Christians have faced persecution day in, day out by the declaration of the ISIL caliphate. Every time when we switch on our TVs and we watch news and we see the kind of bombardment that is happening, when we see young children, women, men, old and young, suffering because of their faith. And sometimes I'm moved to think and to critically think of this God that we serve and the cost that we are meant to pay. And I ask the simple question to myself, how weak could my God be that he could force me to go and kill my brother, my sister, just because they don't bear the same faith as I? How awkward could this God be? And how weak could he be that he has to rely on human power to fight for him? But I thank God today for them and for us who realize that we are only co-workers in faith with God, and that all what God requires from us is a stronger faith and not our physical might. The God that has given us the realization today that he is all-powerful and is able to protect and save his people as he is doing. The city of Mosul, for those who are quite keen on the history of the Bible, will realize It has survived ages and ages, since time immemorial. In the time of Jonah, and where I'm reminded, the towns of Nineveh and all that kingdom that lies between the river Tigris and Euphrates has been a Christian territory since time immemorial. And every time they build up a kingdom, it is destroyed. But they come back again and rebuild it up. And that's why I'm so confident that even at this time, the city shall rise up again. Because the resilience of the Christian faith goes beyond death. And no wonder they say that the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. We have a reason then this morning to thank God that we have the freedom of worship, that we can meet here and congregate here and share the word of God. There are so many other people in this world that have paid a greater cost to even bear the fellowship, not only uttering the word of God. And Christ ends it by saying, "We are the salt of the earth." And I'm reminded of the two important properties of the salt. That salt flavors food, and salt is also a preservative. And I remember in my younger days when I grew up in Africa, and when the luxuries of refrigeration were something unheard of, and how salt was handy those days. And when I grew up as a little boy, I knew whenever we had meat in the house, the first thing that you ever did was to smear all of it with salt. And that way you'd be able to preserve it for quite a number of days, if not weeks. Our aroma of Christianity is comparable to this saltiness. I'm yet to understand how salt would taste without its saltiness. Maybe just a residue. Many Christians brand into the world and avoid the cost of standing up for Christ. As the salt of the world this morning, we are called to preserve the good in this world and to bring a new flavor into the world. And this requires careful planning, a willing sacrifice, unswerving commitment to Christ. If we fail to be salty, then we fail to represent Christ in the world. How salty are you? Are you ready to pay the high price tag of being a Christian? Amen.